This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Residents of Foxborough said no thanks to a casino near Gillette Stadium. Now the debate over gambling moves to a new neighborhood that's already home to another sporting venue.
We're talking about East Boston and a proposal to open a resort-style casino at the Suffolk Downs racetrack. In a moment, we'll hear from a Suffolk Downs executive and an East Boston anti-casino activist.
But first, WBUR's Monica Brady-Meyerhoff has been covering the early casino battles in eastern Massachusetts, first in Foxborough, now in East Boston. Hi, Monica.
Hi, Anthony.
So, casino opponents in East Boston held an organizational meeting last week. You were there. Tell me what you saw.
Well, it was very well run. There were a couple of young community organizers who have experience with organizing large groups of people around things. They had a lawyer explaining the law. They had her explaining the process. They also had people explaining studies about what it shows, traffic, crime, what a casino can do to a community. And there were more than 60 people there, and they said that was double the last size of their meeting. They feel very energized after what happened in Foxborough. And after their presentation, though, people just got mad. It was very Easty. You know, when a man stood up and just was really getting everyone riled up. Here he is.
Right now, you can take it to him and you can win. And with the internet, it's going to be even easier. You need it. And it's going to be easier. You people don't get discouraged. You fight and don't stop fighting. And you'll win.
Wow. So, Monica, some real anti-casino energy, at least in these early days.
That's right.
So under the gaming legislation, a casino in Suffolk Downs would have to win the approval of both the neighborhood and the Boston City Council. Did any city councilors show up?
No city councilors attended that meeting.
And so what does that tell you?
Well, it's hard to say, but Mayor Tom Menino has come out strongly in support of a casino, and maybe that has something to do with it. And the way the law is written, it says that the host community has to negotiate the agreement. That would be Boston. But if the community is larger than 125,000 residents, then only the ward votes on it. So that means all of Boston's neighborhoods won't vote on this casino unless the city council overrides that and says, no, we think the whole city should vote. But it's unlikely that's going to happen because the mayor's in favor of it. And it seems a lot easier, I think, from the city's perspective to just get East Boston to vote on it rather than opening it up to the whole city.
Rather than the whole city, right. Monica, you covered the ultimately successful anti-casino campaign in Foxborough, which you mentioned a moment ago. How did that compare with the movement that we see just forming in East Boston?
Well, I don't want to oversimplify it, but it was a lot of a suburban versus urban approach. You know, in Foxborough, they had community meetings with fresh baked goods. They handed out yard signs. They had donations. They had some money. In East Boston, it was in the basement of a church. There was no food, some Tootsie Rolls, no collection, no yard signs yet. They're very scrappy. It's a much scrappier group.
What about tactics? Compare how the two groups are dealing with tactics.
Well, in Foxborough, it was focused primarily on the Board of Selectmen and influencing them because they were the first hurdle that Kraft Win proposal had to get over. And the anti-casino folks really focused on the election of two members on the selectmen that were up for re-election. They were able to change the balance, put in two more anti-casino folks, really tip it against the casino, and that's what eventually made Kraft and Wynn walk away from their proposal.
Right.
In East Boston, it's a little more muddled because there could be a Boston-wide vote or there could just be an Eastie vote. And right now, the movement's so young, they're still forming their tactics. And there's some discussion about, should we fight? Should we get our city councilors to override the mayor and say the whole city should vote, all of Boston? Or should we just focus on influencing the neighborhood of East Boston and vote no? It seemed like they're feeling like that's the better approach right now. Just get Eastie up and going. But they face a big hurdle in that at that meeting last week, the majority of people who attended were white and probably over 50. And the emerging community in East Boston is a minority community. They know they need to reach out to that community and get them involved in this fight.
So there's not really a sense yet about how that whole community stands on this issue.
Not yet.
WBUR's Monica Brady-Meyerhoff, thanks so much for coming in and talking about this. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So listeners, what do you think? How do you feel about the idea of a casino opening up at Suffolk Downs in East Boston? Is it a good idea for job generation, or do you see nothing but bad for the neighborhood? And if you're a Boston resident and you don't live in East Boston, do you think you should have a vote on whether or not a casino comes to town anywhere in town. What do you think overall about a casino in Eastie? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. You can find us there at Radio Boston. So joining me now in the studio are two people who have very vested interests in this issue. One of them is Chip Tuttle. He's Chief Operating Officer of Suffolk Downs, the location where a future East Boston casino may be. Welcome to Radio Boston, Chip Tuttle.
Thank you, Meghna, and thank you, Anthony, for having me.
Also with us is Celeste Meyer. She's one of the organizers behind No Eastie Casinos, the anti-casino group that you just heard about. Welcome to Radio Boston, Celeste.
Thank you very much.
Let me first ask you, we heard quite a bit that Monica Brady Meyerhoff went over regarding the meeting that that your group had. She ended by saying that there isn't really a sense as to how East Boston as a whole feels about a casino coming to Suffolk Downs. What's your sense to that? Do we know more across the community or not?
Absolutely, Meghna. I'm very involved in the community, and my typical dealings within the community. I'm a lifelong resident. I've been here for 40 years along with my five siblings. We have very deep roots and contacts here in the community. And most of the folks that we speak with, I would say about 70% of the folks that I speak with have very deeply rooted concerns about the casino coming. They're not sure how to approach it. Our goal really is to educate folks, share some of the real impacts that will be coming. As you folks described, the mayor is for it. City Council, other than our local city councilor, La Mattina, has been pretty quiet on the issue. I think it's pretty deliberate. Until and unless they feel it impacts them, they're really not interested in speaking out. So folks feel like it's a done deal.
Well, I mean, Foxborough was the major competition in this local area in terms of where a casino might be in eastern Massachusetts. Now that's out of the running. It does seem somewhat inevitable.
Well, it's funny. So as the bill is constructed, there are three different zones. So yes, Foxborough was the other major contender within this zone. But honestly, we were very energized when we heard about what happened in Foxborough. The message that was sent, it didn't even go to a referendum vote. And we don't have to take one in our area. If the referendum vote doesn't come out and the folks won't support it, it doesn't have to land in East Boston, and that's what people need to know.
Well, Chip Tuttle, let me ask you about exactly that point. I mean, I think one of the big lessons coming out of what happened in Foxborough is that casino companies themselves, at least, felt that, you know, if you don't have at least majority buy-in from the community, whether or not a referendum actually happens, it's not worth the fight. I mean, what can you do? What do you think you need to do to be sure that the casino company doesn't just up and say, no, we're not going to do it here in East Boston?
Well, there are a couple of differences between our situation and what happened down in Foxborough. We've been doing business in East Boston as a gaming facility for 77 years, and we've tried to be a neighbor, good neighbor during that time, and especially over the last 5 years as we've really talked about adding expanded gaming to our development and trying to do things to create more jobs and a positive economic benefit for the community. And to address some of the, clearly to develop our site into a world-class resort complex, but also to do it in a way that works with the neighborhood and addresses some of the existing concerns and existing conditions. So it's a different situation than you had down in Foxborough, because I don't think this is a new idea anywhere in East Boston. We've been talking about this for a while. And where we are now is really at the beginning. I mean, there's been a lot of process with this over the years, including the legislative process, but we're really at the beginning of what will be an extended community review process where we roll out development plans, we talk about road and infrastructure improvements, we talk about local business partnerships, and we look at ways to do this in a way that benefits our neighbors in not just East Boston and Boston, but we happen to be in two municipalities. Mm-hmm. We're in Revere as well.
Well, Stephen, a listener called Stephen, writes on our website, radioboston.org, and I presume he's from East Boston, because he says, our isolation from mainland Boston and an ever-encroaching international airport, of course, Logan already there, has burdened the city for almost a half century. Adding a large resort-style casino with its traffic, crime, low property values, higher insurance rate, and harm to local businesses is almost unthinkable. I mean, so how is it? I mean, that is a profoundly critical view of a whole suite of problems which East Boston residents seem to think would come along with a casino. How can you assuage all of those concerns?
Well, I can take them one at a time if you'd like. having worked in East Boston for the better part of the last 20 years, I started at the track in 1992 and was there for a long time, left and came back. Clearly, we're aware of some of the concerns. We're aware of the historical conditions and some of the things that have happened with the airport and the Port Authority and state agencies, which is why I think that local legislators fought hard to make sure that this was an East Boston award-only referendum should it come to pass that way.
You know, for listeners overall, and Celeste, let me bring you back in here on this. I think maybe it'll help to set the table a little bit to talk more specifically about what is claimed would be brought with a casino. And Celeste, I want to hear you on this as well. First of all, how many jobs do you think would come with a casino at Suffolk Downs?
If we're fortunate enough to win this license, and there's a process here, we think ultimately there'll be over 4,000 jobs at the facility, and that counts approximately 1,000 jobs that the current racing operation generates both at the facility and in other parts of Massachusetts.
Okay, so Celeste Myers, there's point number one. I suppose a lot of people might think East Boston is a place that may love to have an additional several thousand jobs, many of whom who would come from East Boston.
Well, we'd absolutely love to have several thousand more jobs. But the other side of that coin is we're not willing to accept jobs at any cost. Now, outside of that...
Any cost meaning?
Meaning impact on infrastructure, elevation in crime, overburdening of the community as it exists today. And then just... some of the marketing practices and tactics, it's ill-suited for an urban community. Impact on the lottery, impact on the economy, small businesses. It's a very delicate balance, and East Boston is very different than Foxborough is. We are a working-class community, a family community, a business community, and placing something of this major monolithic size, scale, and scope is really just going to offset the balance. Now, in terms of the jobs it will bring, in any major industry, technology, gaming, education, especially when you're dealing with an existing major entity like Caesar's Palace, they're going to tap into their existing resources. Right there are the top tier of jobs. Outside of that, you're going to reach out to the job boards as they have in Oxford and Maine with the current pending casino. Now, intellectually, you expect they'll be looking for dealers, folks within the gaming industry. As you drill down and look at some of those jobs, I was surprised to see some of the jobs they were farming out were human resources clerks, security folks, database folks.
I guess what I hear you saying is you don't believe that many of those jobs would go to East Boston residents.
I don't feel that I have major concerns, and there are big indicators that the quality jobs, the higher income jobs, they won't come to East Boston, the surrounding areas. What we will see are more service industry jobs. We'll see more minimum wage jobs, minimum benefit jobs. And we're already kind of overburdened by lack of quality jobs.
Okay, let me get Chip Tuttle to respond to that, and then I want to move on to another big issue that comes
sure.
with a casino in Boston.
I want to push back a little bit on that and respectfully disagree with Celeste in that our surrounding communities, East Boston, Revere, Winthrop, Chelsea, Everett, have a higher rate of unemployment than the rest of the Commonwealth does. And a lot of those are, they're not jobs, they're not people who can get jobs in biotech or in the high-tech, highly skilled area. So, I mean, are these are good jobs, okay? These are good jobs, they're union jobs, they help support families, they're jobs that clearly, from what we've seen, people have referred to this as a blue-collar depression, and I think that we'll be able to provide jobs to local residents, and that will be part of what's happening here is we've got a small group of people who have pretty much said, we don't want to see Suffolk Downs development proposal. We don't care how many jobs may go to locals. We don't know what's in the host community agreement yet, but we're against this no matter what.
Celeste Myers, let me hear your response to
okay,
that.
Okay, so I have two counterpoints. Our objection is to a bill being formulated at the State House with Suffolk Downs in mind without the input of the Commonwealth, and most importantly, the local folks that are going to be impacted in the communities that you described, East Boston, Revere, Winthrop, Chelsea, Everett. That's our biggest objection. We would naturally love jobs, but as I described, we're concerned that the jobs won't come to us. And in terms of the quality jobs that he describes, I want to give two examples. In Atlantic City, these quality union jobs, the unions are instructing their employees how to apply for food stamps and other benefits because it's not enough to make ends meet. In Connecticut, employees of the casinos with these quality jobs, with these good-paying jobs, are engaging in hotbedding activities, which we're very familiar in East Boston with overcrowding of multifamily homes. You see 10 to 12 folks in an apartment, and that's not an exaggeration. What happens with hot bedding is even worse than that, where they're sharing beds.
Well, you know, I want to say that we could actually talk about jobs right. in and of itself for the entire remainder of the segment, because it is a major point of contention here. But I do want to get to some of the other issues
absolutely.
That come along with, bringing a casino anywhere in Boston. And I just want to remind listeners that I am speaking with Celeste Myers. She's one of the organizers of the No EC Casino Group, and with Chip Tuttle, who's the Chief Operating Officer at Suffolk Downs. And you can join us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. I want to ask you both about another issue that definitely has an effect on the quality of life in East Boston, and also, quite frankly, for anyone who gets in a car. And that's about just, you know, I've been reading numbers that say, you know, you might be, if a casino is built there, you might be attracting 30, 35,000 people to the site where Suffolk Downs currently sits. Now, I was just on 1A yesterday, and it's already a nightmare. You know, the Sumner and Callahan tunnels aren't anything, you know, to write home about if Boston isn't already your home. So, Chip Tuttle, I mean, how would you deal with the fact that this is a very densely populated urban neighborhood, and the influx of all those people might be very, very difficult to handle?
Well, as a lifelong resident of Salem who's had a driver's license for 32 years or so, I've driven those roads my whole life, and I understand what those issues are. And the community has made it clear to us in all the conversations. I've been meeting with business leaders and meeting with elected officials and representatives. We have several employees that live in the community. We've heard loud and clear, both in East Boston and Revere and on the greater North Shore, that if we're going to propose this development, we have to address some of the existing road conditions.
And what would you do?
We're happy to do that. We've had traffic engineers working with us since 2009. We've done two different studies of the area to update the counts and make sure we're working with the best information. And as part of our development proposal, we will roll out detailed traffic, transportation, and local road improvements. We've said we're publicly committed to spending as much as $40 million on local road and infrastructure improvements. Now, these are improvements that will go above and beyond the impact that the facility will have, and they're improvements that some other type of development wouldn't necessarily have to make.
Okay, so
that's
Celeste
what
Myers?
We're asking people in East Boston and Revere to keep an open mind until they see what these proposals are.
So given that, and so given that, you know, maybe you might have a different opinion when you see the proposals, and what do you make of the fact that when you hear Chip Tuttle say they're willing to spend $40 million?
My response to the $40 million that's being bantered around at this point is that contrasts very sharply with numbers that were indicated in the East Boston Times article back in 2009, which described a study, a dialogue between Senator Petrocelli and Segal Consulting Group, which described that same stretch of highway that we're discussing now would require $500 million in infrastructure improvements. So, you know, I can understand a slight gap in calculations, 500 mil to 40 mil. It's a little bit larger than I'm willing to swallow. In addition to that, when you talk about the approach to Suffolk Downs Casino, again, all of these communities that are just surround the area, those are going to be bypass routes. There's no avoiding it. Everybody's going to cut through. And now in addition to just a huge amount of vehicles on the roads, you add into the equation the folks that will be drinking. I mean, it's standard procedure at a casino to offer free alcohol, you know, throughout the duration.
So you're raising a public safety concern.
Absolutely. And that ties into the traffic concerns and, you know, is a huge issue.
Well, and let me get Chip Tuttle's response on the public safety, and then also one last sort of major issue, and then I want to sort of bring in some listener comments here, is that the drain that a casino might have on businesses not only in East Boston, but greater Boston as a whole.
I'll take the public safety one first. I mean, we take that very seriously. Obviously, we're subject to the same laws and regulations as any licensed establishment in Massachusetts would be on serving and training our employees and things like that. The first person we hired after the bill passed in November was Paul Evans, the former Boston Police Commissioner, who is an international expert on public safety. Paul has been working with our partners from Caesars Entertainment. He's toured other gaming facilities to find out what their best practices are. He's looking at community communities where crime rates have gone down since gaming has been introduced to those communities. Communities in Pennsylvania, like Wilkes-Barre and Bensalem, Pennsylvania, where they've taken racing facilities and converted them to multi-use entertainment complexes. So we take that very seriously, and we're working on a plan to work with local law enforcement and to incorporate best practices from the 22 other states that have done this commercially and the 16 other states that have some form of Native American gaming.
Okay, so point taken. Okay. And again, once again, we could talk about any of these issues for quite some time. But I do want to ask you, there are a lot of local businesses who are profoundly concerned that from their perspective, it's essentially a zero-sum game. Yeah. Because the casino would draw business away from them. The state may benefit by virtue of the percentage it gets from the casino, but local business would suffer.
That's another one that's just not true, okay? And I think what happens is the opposition points to Atlantic City, and you could make the case that Atlantic City didn't do a very good job at this years and years ago when they introduced it. Again, we've got all sorts of other municipalities and jurisdictions to look at. And this bill says that we have to have local business partnerships. We think we'll spend $150 million to $200 million a year on goods and services with local businesses. That's not made up. That's based on the Connecticut casinos. They spend $300 to $400 million annually on goods and services with local businesses.
Okay, so let me get a response quickly from Celeste Meyer.
We're currently in an environment that is supporting this casino bill largely because folks feel like there's a drain on our economy. Businesses across the Commonwealth feel like they need more money coming in. The reality is that Boston is the fourth largest tourist destination in the nation. We're a major crossroads here. You're talking about education, medicine, technology, industry, and just tourism in general. So when you talk about bringing more money into the Commonwealth, that's really kind of a misdescription. These folks are major investors. Caesar's Palace is coming here for the money. They're not coming to bring money into the Commonwealth. And when you talk about local businesses, it's, again, not just the local mom and pop shops and restaurants, which, by the way, will feel the drain based on just draw to the casino. Also, just the burden on their infrastructure, burden on taxes and other things that are bound to go up because of it. I mean, it's really, I can't even see how it's any kind of winning proposition for any current small business across the Commonwealth.
So a little earlier, we took a comment from Stephen on RadioBoston.org. It's going to be an all social media input kind of day, because I want to take a comment from Libby Hayes, who writes on our Facebook page that residents of Revere, Chelsea, and Winthrop will be more affected than the rest of Boston. So residents of Boston and surrounding communities should all be considered. And I'll use Libby's comment as a springboard in the last literally minute and a half we have to bring this question to you guys. I mean, right now it looks like there is uncertainty on the city council whether or not they're going to open up a vote on a casino to all of Boston or just limit it to East Boston. First of all, again, briefly, Celeste Myers, would you like to see only East Boston have a vote?
Right now, we're focusing on educating the folks in East Boston, giving them the information that they haven't received thus far, and we will be turning into a ballot question committee, and our focus right at this point, as it rests within East Boston, is to pull out the vote in East Boston. We have heard from folks in other communities, even across the city, and you know, we're glad to keep them tuned in, too, but right now, we're really focused on East Boston.
Chip Tuttle, it seems to me it could split either way for you if the vote gets spread out to Boston as a whole.
Not to be smart alecky, but our opinion doesn't really matter at this stage. I think what happened in the legislation is having the host community agreement be with the city as a whole ensures that the entire city gets some of the benefits, and having the ballot question restricted to the ward ensures that the neighborhood most affected gets the most say. If that's the way it's going to be, we're comfortable with that, and we look forward to working with our neighbors in East Boston.
Well, listeners, I know a lot of you are on the line to put your comments in on the phone. Please go to RadioBoston.org to continue the conversation there. Chip Tuttle is Chief Operating Officer at Suffolk Downs. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And Celeste Myers, one of the organizers of the No Eastie Casino Group, thank you as well.
Thank you very much.
Well, coming up, one of the West End's most famous former residents remembers the now raised Boston neighborhood. We'll be talking to Leonard Nimoy, Mr. Spock, on What's Been Lost. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.